Thank you all for standing by. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode until the question and answer session of today's conference. At that time, if you would like to ask a question, press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Benjamin Haynes. Thank you, sir. You may begin.
Thank you, Holly. Good afternoon, and thank you all for joining us for today's briefing on the U.S. measles outbreak. We are joined today by Dr. Ann Schuchat, Assistant Surgeon General, United States Public Health Service, and Director of CDC's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases. Dr. Schuchat will provide opening remarks before taking your questions. I'd now like to turn it over to Dr. Schuchat.
Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I want to talk to you today about measles, and here's why. It's only January, and we've already had a very large number of measles cases, as many cases as we have all year in typical years. This worries me, and I want to do everything possible to prevent measles from getting a foothold in the United States and becoming endemic again. I want to make sure that parents who think that measles is gone and haven't made sure that they or their children are vaccinated are aware that measles is still around and it can be serious, and that MMR vaccine is safe and effective and highly recommended. From January 1st until January 28th, 2015, a total of 84 people in 14 states have been reported as having measles. Most of these cases are part of an ongoing, large, multi-state outbreak linked to the Disneyland Resort's theme parks in Orange County, California. CDC is working with state and local health departments to control this measles outbreak, which started in late December. Many of you know that in 2014, the U.S. experienced the highest number of measles cases we had reported in 20 years, over 600. Many of the people who got measles last year were linked to travelers who'd gotten measles from the Philippines, where an extremely large outbreak of over 50,000 cases was occurring. Although we aren't sure exactly how this year's outbreak began, we assume that someone got infected with measles overseas, visited the Disneyland parks, and spread the disease to others. Infected people in this outbreak here in the U.S. this year have exposed others in a variety of settings, including schools, daycares, emergency departments, outpatient clinics, and airplanes. The information we have about this current outbreak is preliminary, and the data are changing. We'll be updating our website every Monday with the latest total counts. However, based on what we know now, we're seeing more adults than we've seen in a typical outbreak. Children are also getting measles. The majority of the adults and children that are reported to us, for which we have information, did not get vaccinated or don't know whether they had been vaccinated. This is not a problem of the measles vaccine not working. This is a problem of the measles vaccine not being used. Measles can be a very serious disease, and people of all ages do need to be protected. This year's outbreak illustrates that measles spreads quickly among unvaccinated people and can spread quickly from state to state or around the world. We must ensure that measles vaccination rates in the U.S. remain high among children, as well as ensure that adults receive MMR vaccine if they're not already protected against this virus. I want to briefly review the national U.S. measles situation this year and remind you about measles around the world, as well as briefly go through the main recommendations for the vaccine. Thanks to the very strong immunization system we have and high vaccination rates here in the U.S., we declared measles eliminated in the year 2000. Elimination means that this disease is no longer native to the country. But measles continues to be brought into the country by people who get the disease when they're traveling elsewhere. They can spread the disease to others, which can lead to outbreaks. For several years after measles elimination, our numbers were very low. Between 2001 and 2010, we saw a median of 60 reported cases of measles each year. In recent years, we've had a higher number of reported cases. And as you can see, in January alone, we've had more cases than was the median for the last decade. Measles is still common around the world, and we estimate about 20 million cases each year. In 2013, about 145,700 people died of measles across the world. Measles can come into our country easily through visitors or when Americans travel abroad and bring it back. It can be a serious disease for people of all ages. Even in developed countries like the U.S., for every 1,000 children who get measles, 1 to 3 of them die, despite the best treatment. And in the U.S., from 2001 to 2013, 28% of young children who had measles had to be treated in the hospital. Measles can also result in complications. In children, they can develop pneumonia, lifelong brain damage, or deafness. Of course, measles spreads when an infected person breathes, coughs, or sneezes, and people don't always know they're infectious because you can spread this disease before the rash is evident. Measles is extremely contagious. It's so contagious that if one person has it, 90% of the people close to that person who aren't immune will also become infected. You can catch measles just by being in the same room as a person who has measles, even if that person already left the room, because the virus can hang around for a couple hours. This year so far, as I mentioned, from January 1 through 28, 84 cases of measles have been reported to us at the CDC from 14 states. There are an estimated 67 cases since December 28, 2014, that are linked to the outbreak, that are linked to the Disneyland Resort's theme parks. State and local health departments are investigating the large multi-state outbreak related to the theme parks, and the initial cases reported visiting the resorts between December 17th and 20th, 2014. So far, we know of 67 confirmed cases of measles linked to the outbreak, and they have occurred in California and 6 other states. We don't know exactly how this outbreak started, but we do think it's likely a person who was infected with measles overseas visited the Disney parks in December while they were still infectious. This outbreak reminds us that measles exposures can happen in this country in many settings, and ensuring age-appropriate vaccination for all U.S. residents is very important. Maintaining high vaccination coverage in every community is important, and it's the best defense we have against disease outbreaks. I'm urging all healthcare professionals to think measles when they're evaluating patients with fever, rash, and other measles-related symptoms. Healthcare professionals do need to know the guidelines for infection control and reporting of measles cases, and they should work to ensure their patients are getting the best protection possible against measles, which is on-time MMR vaccination, to protect them from acquiring this virus, whether at home or abroad. The news this year is concerning and serves as a warning that measles is still coming into the United States and that unvaccinated people can get exposed. These outbreaks the past couple years have been much harder to control when the virus reaches communities where numbers of people have not been vaccinated. And, of course, when the virus comes into the country and is exposing people at large venues where many people gather, the chances for larger outbreaks result. I want to remind you that 1 in 12 children in the United States is not receiving their first dose of MMR vaccine on time, and that makes them vulnerable to get measles and to spread measles. In the U.S., 95% of children aged 19 to 35 months are recommended to have received the measles vaccine on time, but only 10 states have achieved that level. 17 states have less than 90% of children having received at least one dose. This sets them up for risk of spread of disease in their communities and in their schools. It's not just young children that need to be up to date on their vaccines, and we are starting to see more adults get measles and spread it. So for adults out there, if you're not sure if you've had measles vaccine or not, or if you've ever had measles, we just urge you to contact your doctor or nurse and get vaccinated. There's no harm in getting another MMR vaccine if you've already been vaccinated. I do want to remind you that unvaccinated people put themselves and others at risk for measles and its complications, and remind you that young babies can't get this vaccine, but they are very vulnerable to measles and its complications. Pregnant women, people with immunocompromising conditions like leukemia, can't get the vaccine, and they are really depending on others around them to have been vaccinated. Of course, we hope pregnant women will have already been vaccinated as children, but in this outbreak, we're learning of some pregnant women who had not been vaccinated and have been exposed, and of course, they have to be protected through other means. So this isn't just to protect ourselves and our families, but it's to protect the vulnerable people in our communities. If a pregnant woman gets infected with measles, it increases her risk of premature labor, miscarriage, and having a baby born with low birth weight. And as I said, we don't recommend pregnant women get the MMR vaccine, but they need to be vaccinated before pregnancy, at least a month before that. For people traveling abroad, I want to remind you that we don't have that usual cutoff of 1 year for babies getting vaccinated, but we recommend children 6 months and over get MMR vaccine before international travel to make sure they're protected when they go to parts of the world where measles is still circulating widely. So a key reminder about the routine MMR vaccine recommendations. The routine ones are for children to get their first dose at 12 months of age and a second dose between 4 and 6 years of age, but it's fine for the second dose to be given earlier and it doesn't need to wait till the 4 to 6 years of age. And then again, for those adults and over that age, two doses are recommended for a full series. This is a wake-up call to make sure we keep measles from regaining a foothold in our country, protecting our most vulnerable babies and others by assuring that everyone who can be protected from measles is appropriately vaccinated. The very large outbreaks we've seen around the world often started with a small number of cases. I've told you before that France went from about 40 cases a year to over 10,000 cases in a year. It's only January, and we've already had 84 cases. Let's work together to keep these numbers down and to keep measles from returning to plague our communities. Operator, I think we can go to the questions now.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please unmute your phone, press star 1, and record your full name clearly when prompted. To withdraw your question, press star 2. Our first question comes from Evan Brown. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you very much for taking the call and doing this today. Doctor, a couple questions. One, how are our hospitals ready for this, and did the need to further prepare hospitals during the Ebola situation late last year, will we have learned something from that with regard to taking care of measles patients should it become more prevalent? And two, how frustrating is it that there are these groups of people in the United States who question the effectiveness of vaccine or the potential side effects of vaccine, and they don't vaccinate their kids or they don't vaccinate themselves when they grow up? And because as you've mentioned, herd immunity aspects earlier in your talk, that seems to be working counter to that, and there seems to be more and more people getting more and more airtime, if you will, about not vaccinating their kids.
Thank you for those questions. We are so interconnected, and the Ebola problem in West Africa has reminded Americans about health problems around the world and that our best protection is to fight outbreaks where they originate. The efforts to improve hospital preparedness around Ebola do have some relevance for measles. The importance of taking a travel history when people present with febrile illnesses. It's not just for measles. It's not just for Ebola. Remember the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome virus? Very important to ask about travel history in anyone with fever or rash. A second issue is infection control. We know with the Ebola concern and with measles that we really need strong infection control in hospitals. That starts with a clinical suspicion of illness, that illness can be spread from infectious patients. And we have seen times where there's nosocomial or hospital spread of measles, and a huge effort is needed in the case of hospitals to make sure their workers are protected and to reduce the risk of spread, whether it's in emergency departments or on the wards. But, you know, there's a huge difference between Ebola and measles, and in measles we have a very safe and very effective vaccine that's been given for more than 50 years. And so there's an easy way for us to protect our hospitals and to protect our communities. And I strongly recommend appropriate on-time vaccination with the MMR. It is frustrating that some people have opted out of vaccination. I think it's very important for people to have good information they can rely on about the safety and effectiveness of vaccines, and for our system to serve people in making it easy, efficient, and convenient to get vaccines. But we do have a generation that hasn't seen these diseases. So whether it's clinicians who've never taken care of measles before or parents who wonder whether this disease still exists, I think it's important for us to educate them and remind them that we have safe and effective vaccines. Most parents are trying to do the best thing they can for their kids, and most parents are vaccinating their children against all the recommended conditions. But some parents have questions, and those questions I hope we can answer, and I do hope people can realize these viruses and other germs are out there still, and our vaccines really are still needed. Next question.
Our next question comes from Anna Edney from Bloomberg News. Go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Are you concerned that the outbreak could get a lot worse with the Super Bowl coming up in Arizona? And we know there are cases there and people, you know, have been exposed that might not know it yet.
We have cases of measles right now reported from 14 states, and so it's important for people everywhere to be on their guard. Very important for people to make sure their kids are vaccinated, and if they're traveling abroad, to make sure that they've been appropriately protected. Measles can spread in any setting, especially in places where many people are unvaccinated. I wouldn't expect the Super Bowl to be a place where many unvaccinated people are congregating, and I know it's a highlight that many people are looking forward to this weekend.
Are there any special precautions you're taking just because it is a large event?
No, I think the main thing is if people are having fever or rash, they need to let their doctor or nurse know about that, and that clinicians caring for people with fever or rash need to think measles at this point and take a travel history and take appropriate steps. I think people really need to know that you can get measles anywhere. It's invisible, and we have importations every year. As I mentioned, 20 million measles cases a year around the world. So measles is being acquired in a lot of different contexts. We happen to know that there was transmission at the large entertainment venue in California, but we know that measles is also being acquired in the community, schools, and elsewhere. And what we can do about that is make sure that people are being vaccinated appropriately.
Our next question comes from Maggie Fox with NBC News. Go ahead, your line is open.
Thanks so much. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the hard epidemiology that's being done right now? With so many people infected and so many people exposed, how many people are you having to do contact tracing on or help states do contact tracing on?
Thank you for that question. I don't have the actual numbers of the work in progress because I think the people doing the work in progress are so busy they haven't had a chance to put those numbers together. This is a reminder that we are so dependent on the local and state public health workforce that is the front line of our defense against infectious diseases. They are diligently following up suspect illness. The laboratories are testing people to figure out whether it is measles or not, and they're following up the contacts and trying to protect them. If they recognize the contacts within a short period of time, they may be able to make sure they're vaccinated or get appropriate other therapies. This is a huge effort,
it's a big effort with 84 cases being followed up. We really don't want that number doubling, tripling, or adding digits to it. And so we really want people to be thinking about this now. And if there's any question whether your child is up to date or not, make that appointment and make sure they are immunized. Next question.
Our next question comes from Eric German with Retro Report. Go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to confirm, you said at the top that there are 84 cases in 14 states, but then later said that there are 67 that can be definitely linked to the Disneyland theme park. And I just wanted to know if those other additional cases we think are from somewhere else, or if they just the linkage hasn't been established yet.
It's a mixture. There are some that might be linked when further investigation is completed. In a number of instances, we know of travel history or exposure to travelers from a number of other countries. So that have another source that is not the Disneyland theme park. So I would say that so far this year, we have a smattering of importations, which is actually a greater number of importations than we usually would have in January. But the largest proportion of the cases I described are associated with the California outbreak.
And that number is 67.
Yes, and let me also clarify that the 67 people associated with the California outbreak includes Californians and people from six other states, but it also goes back to December 28th, so it includes a handful of cases from 2014. The 84 people I mentioned is just starting the count at January 1st. So sorry to have so many numbers out there.
Thank you.
Sure. Next question?
Our next question comes from Mike Stobie with Associated Press. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you, Doctor, for doing this. Yeah, back on the numbers. Let me just finish that off. And so of, as you said, there's two time frames here. Of the 84 this year, how many of them are related to the California outbreak? And also, could you say a little bit more about the 67 confirmed cases? Were any of them in a country that had a recent measles outbreak? And you mentioned that there's more adult cases than usual. Can you say how many of the 67 were adult versus children, and what proportion of the 67 were vaccinated? And did you say there were some pregnant women? How many pregnant women? And also, if I can add, what proportion have been hospitalized?
Okay, thank you. The reality is I won't have the answer to most of those questions, so the ones that I can answer, I would like to get correct. Okay. So in terms of the outbreak that is related to the Disneyland theme resorts, theme parks. In 2015, there are 56 cases that are related to that, and in 2014, there were 11. So that's where the 67 clumps together for the Disneyland issue. The adult and children issue, we don't have all of the details yet about the ages, and so there's quite a bit that's pending. And I think we will be, of course, it's going to be important to put this together. The median age of cases has been increasing, and it's over 20, I think, right now. In terms of the hospitalizations, so far, for the information that we have, which is not on all 84 of these cases, 15% have required hospitalization, and that is not that different than what we would typically see. I think it's too soon for us to know whether the whole clinical spectrum and severity for this outbreak or this year is going to be different because of the larger number of adults. You know, one question we get is why are we seeing it in adults? And I think a good answer is that most children are vaccinated, and there's a lot more adults than children. And adults travel a whole lot more than children do in general. But we'll need to wait for the full statistics to come through. As you know, before 50 years ago, we didn't have a measles vaccine. So those of us who were over 50 were almost universally exposed to measles and got measles and are immune to it. But since then, of course, we've had more and more people in the U.S. vaccinated against measles and protected.
So we may be seeing a change in the epidemiology over the next few years, and it's an important question. We do have an easy way to not have to get into those kinds of questions by just making sure people are vaccinated, and in particular, we don't let ourselves get large communities with high levels of unimmunized people where the virus can spread easily and be harder to control.
And what about any of the 67 been to a country that had a recent outbreak?
The 67 that we don't, I guess if your question is, do we know a travel history that will help us understand where measles came from to get into Disneyland, whether it's from an American traveling abroad or somebody from abroad visiting Disneyland, we don't have that information. We do know that the genotype of the virus that's associated with the Disneyland outbreak is causing outbreaks in 14 different countries around the world. So the genotyping won't tell us the specific source yet. But we don't have a travel history from an early case. There may be someone who was here and gone and we'll never know, but I think the investigation is ongoing. Next question.
Our next question comes from Dan Childs with ABC News. Go ahead, your line is open.
Thank you very much for taking my question. Actually, it's sort of a two-part question. One of these is, we took a look at MMR vaccination rates in the U.S. throughout the decade, and they've stayed pretty stable throughout the last few years, and it's definitely higher rates than we saw in the 90s. Also, we saw that California doesn't have a rate that's not that they're not that far below the national average in terms of MMR. To what extent is this wholly attributable to these pockets of under-vaccination, and is it that these pockets are getting worse?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, the national estimates hide what's going on state to state. The state estimates hide what's going on community to community. And within communities, there may be pockets. I think we do have some communities with many who have not received vaccine, and the size of those cohorts is increasing in terms of, it's one thing if you have a year where a number of people aren't vaccinating, but year after year, in terms of the kids that are exempting, for instance, you do start to accumulate. So we may have a number of communities, but this also may just be that there was a whole lot of people around the virus in Disneyland and started quite a few individual chains that need to be followed up. We track coverage at the state level, and the states track school entry MMR coverage. And things generally look good, but there's some schools and some school districts where things are a problem. I really appreciate the states that have been posting their school coverage data and their school exemption data so community members have a chance to see what's going on. But as you say, the overall picture has been getting better, not worse. It's just these micro communities that we think are make us vulnerable.
And just one follow-up, if it's okay. Should we, I guess in light of this, be revisiting the notion of non-medical exemptions and whether they should be allowed? And also, if there's time, I'd like to be able to know what the 14 states are where measles has occurred so far in the U.S. in 2015.
For the states, I think we can get you that in follow-up. In terms, it may not be efficient for me to read them off, and you guys have to write them, so I think we can get you them. The non-medical exemptions. You know, medical exemptions are absolutely essential. A six-year-old with leukemia cannot get vaccine, but when she is well enough to go back to school, we really want to make sure that she's not going to get sick from others in the school. So there's a reason for medical exemptions that's just absolutely essential in terms of not doing harm to a child. A number of states do have other types of exemptions, and I know state by state they have been revisiting that. Sometimes states have made the exemption opportunities easier. Sometimes they've made them harder. We know that the easier it is to exempt, the more people will exempt. And when states actually make it easier to get vaccinated than to exempt, we can see higher rates of vaccination. So I think it's just important for us to know that vaccines protect individuals, and they also protect the vulnerable people around the people who've been vaccinated. Next question.
Our next question comes from Rosanna Zha with LA Times. Go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, Dr. Schickett. Thanks for taking our questions. Real quick, for the other non-Disney-related, 67 cases, are there any links or other epicenters at this point that you have identified, or are they individual cases per state from international travel?
I believe most of what we're seeing so far is individual. Of course, these are active investigations, but the incubation periods may not have been followed because it is only January 29th, so it may be too soon for us to know whether there'll be related cases, but at this point, California's Disneyland-related outbreak is the one we're following closely.
And in your experience, just from looking at outbreaks, is the number of cases right now state to state from one specific epicenter like Disneyland, is this rate right now concerning? I mean, it seems actually slower than what a typical outbreak would be. Could you talk a little bit about how well officials are containing this outbreak or whether or not they should be doing more?
We've had outbreaks in the past few years that are of variable sizes. And so if we look at the outbreaks going back to 2008, a number of the outbreaks were only 20 or 30 cases total, and we've already got 84 cases from this, or sorry, we've got 67 cases from this, and we know the number's going to be somewhat larger at least. The largest outbreak we've had in recent years in the U.S. was related to the Amish community in Ohio, and that was quite unusual because it was a large population where vaccine use was very low at the time. In most of these other settings, we are not seeing the virus introduced into a very large population with hardly any vaccination. So the situation here is that we know that already a number of states are following up cases related to this, and we really don't want chains of transmission to begin in those states or to gain a foothold. So I would say we don't expect this to be like thousands, but we certainly don't want to give it an opportunity to become that. And again, this cautionary tale that there are countries where they've started with sort of 40 or 50 a year and gone to the many thousands in just another year. So we don't want to let that happen here. We want people to realize they should be checking their vaccine records and making sure their kids have gotten vaccinated and thinking about this before they travel. Next question.
Our next question comes from Betsy McKay with the Wall Street Journal. Go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, Dr. Schickett. Thanks. I have a couple of questions. One is, again, on the cases which are not part of the Disneyland resort's outbreak that you said look like a smattering of importations. Do you know what countries those are from? And in particular, I'm wondering if the what you're seeing is more from the more from the Philippines, if that outbreak is still going on. The second question, or if not, is there a big outbreak going on somewhere else in the world where that is causing this larger number to come into the States now? And the other question was about vaccine. There's a pretty sizable percentage, it looks like, of people in the Disneyland outbreak who were vaccinated, including something like 13% in California who had actually had two doses of the vaccine. So I'm wondering, is there any indication or, are you looking into at all into the possibility that vaccine effectiveness or immunity may wane with age?
Yeah, thank you. Let me read a few countries where we have a history to link a recent measles case with a different country of origin. Not to say that the person was of origin of the other country, but there was a travel history or exposure to that country. Indonesia, Azerbaijan, Qatar, India, and Dubai at a minimum, and there's probably some additional ones that are under investigation. So that's for the 2015 importations. So we don't have a definite Philippines travel history in any of our 2015 cases. Of course, last year there were a number of importations that were associated with the Philippines last year. Now, in terms of the vaccine histories, the coverage of MMR is very high, and the higher the coverage that you have, the more chances that you will have some fully vaccinated people get measles, even though the vaccine is highly effective. So we think two doses of measles vaccine is probably like 97% effective. But if you have really, really high coverage, if 95% or more people are protected, you're going to get some people who are two-dose failures. We're at too early a stage to measure whether there is a problem of waning immunity or some unexpected vaccine efficacy. But based on what we know so far, we're not suspecting that. I would say we like to keep an open mind and think these things through and fully investigate. But so far, what we're seeing is consistent with a highly effective vaccine and a number of people that haven't been vaccinated. Next question.
Our next question comes from Matthew Stucker with CNN. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Hi. Can you tell me how many people have been quarantined or isolated in this outbreak? And of those people, how many did have measles or became infected, or who didn't become infected, and also if there's still any people in quarantine or isolation? And also, just to go back to the Super Bowl thing, there's tons of contacts that are still being traced, and I know you said that it didn't seem like a place where people with measles would be, you know, congregating, but I don't think that the people that went to Disneyland expected to get measles, so I'm just, you know, wondering why there's no precautions being taken there, especially in Phoenix, where they're still trying to track down, you know, some 200 people from that children's hospital.
Thanks. I don't have the number of people who are being followed up and the interventions that are being recommended for those people. What I can say is that if you've been vaccinated appropriate to age and are exposed to someone with measles, there's no special steps that need to be taken. So the easiest thing for the public health departments and the families who are traveling is to be appropriately vaccinated and to have documentation of that. Certainly, these are ongoing investigations in terms of what is being done. We don't have those numbers. Now, in terms of the Super Bowl, what I can say is that there are large public gatherings in many places, and they are cherished and valued events. The important thing in terms of our usual recommendations is if you're ill, we recommend you not travel, that you don't get on an airplane if you're sick or having fever. Of course, it's flu season. We're seeing an enormous amount of people with illness right now, and we're really trying to suggest that people who are ill take care of themselves, rest, and stay away from others so that others can enjoy festivities. And just a reminder, with an event like the Super Bowl going on, that good vaccination can keep you healthy and able to go to these kinds of events. I think we have time for two more questions.
Our next question comes from Jody Tillman with Tampa Bay Times. Go ahead, your line is open.
Yeah, hi there. Of the cases where the patients were not vaccinated, were some of them on sort of like, you know, the so-called alternative schedule where they didn't get their second dose? They had their first dose but were delaying their second dose for whatever reason. And if so, if you could talk a little bit about the risks of that strategy, because you do hear it sometimes from some of the parents.
Yes, thank you. We do know that some of the reported measles cases this year had exempted from vaccine. We don't have all the details yet to know what proportion had delayed vaccine or just, you know, hadn't yet gotten around to it versus had actually said they didn't want the vaccine. So we don't have that information yet. But we know the last few years that the measles cases we've been seeing have generally been in people who were unvaccinated, and many of them unvaccinated due to personal belief exemptions. There has been some missed opportunities for vaccination where people were at the doctor's office and you know, didn't get the vaccine because of another illness or something. We recommend you should get vaccinated when you're there unless you have a severe illness. In 2014, 79% of the unvaccinated cases of measles in the U.S.
were unvaccinated due to personal belief exemptions. So whether that kind of statistic will hold up this year, I don't know.
If they've got their children,
that's a great question, because I have spoken to parents who think, 12 months, do I really want to get my baby vaccinated at that age? Can't I just wait? The reason that MMR vaccine is recommended at 12 months routinely is because babies are exquisitely vulnerable to measles and to complications of measles, and 12 months is the age where it reliably works well. We would give it routinely earlier if it was, highly effective at much younger ages, for instance, less than 6 months. Between 6 months and 12 months, measles vaccine will protect, but it doesn't last that long, and you need to actually give two more doses. So we recommend in the setting of outbreaks, or if you're traveling internationally, babies between 6 and 12 months should get a measles vaccine. They just need two more doses later. So people who think, my baby's too young to be vaccinated, actually, that's when your baby's at a very vulnerable stage. And the concerns that people had about whether MMR vaccine may not be safe or may be linked to learning problems or autism just have not borne out at all. So MMR vaccine, very safe, very effective, really necessary, and the 12-month routine first dose we really strongly recommend. As we look through measles cases in the past few years, we've seen a lot of cases in infants and toddlers who are planning to get it but didn't want to get it just at the 12-month period, and I think I would revisit that if that's your children that I'm talking about. Last question?
Our last question comes from Lenny Bernstein with The Washington Post. Go ahead, your line is open.
Thanks, Dr. Shukat. I wanted to follow up on the 79%. Do you have any good data of the number of people, the percentage of people in the United States who have chosen not to get the vaccine because of personal belief, not for medical reasons, but because of personal belief?
No. In terms of the general population, we don't. We have been tracking a number of things over time. One of the things we've been tracking is the percent of infants and toddlers who get no vaccines at all, because I think there's a common misunderstanding that when we talk about vaccine acceptance and questions that, everybody's dropped out of the system. We continue to have less than 1% of toddlers in the U.S. have received no vaccines at all. So almost every baby and toddler is getting vaccinated with at least some vaccines most of the time. We don't have data on for the whole nation on exemptions. We do track kindergarten entry systematically in all the states, and every summer we report that. I think it was September maybe this year where we report that in the MMWR, and our website has that information. So state by state, you can see what percent of kindergartners have gotten MMR vaccine as recommended, and then also what percent are exempting either due to medical exemptions or to other exemptions. And that's something that we are following. Rather than having a national number, though, our effort the last couple of years has been to raise the standards by which states are gathering that data so that it's easier to compare state to state and to compare year to year.
Thank you.
So I think that's the last question, and I just want to remind folks that measles is still around with 20 million cases around the world, and this year we're off to a bumper start. I strongly recommend people make sure their children are appropriately vaccinated and that they're vaccinated before travel or are protected against measles. Thank you for following the story, and we'll be updating our website on a weekly basis with the latest numbers. And thank you to the state and local health departments that are working day and night to follow up all of these cases.
Thank you, Dr. Shukat. This is going to conclude today's briefing. A transcript will be available at www.cdc.gov/media. And if you have questions, you can contact the main media line at 404-639-3268. Thank you. 639-3286.
This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time.